Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Well, I almost feel like we could pronounce a benediction and go home, you know? Wow. Woo! Boy, our God is big. Well, I'm very blessed to be here this morning. That was a wonderful beginning to a wonderful day. And really this morning, there are just a couple of actually brief examples in God's Word, incidents of believers who needed deliverance in their lives that I want to look at. But before we do, we're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ reveals the great key to manifesting total deliverance and freedom in our lives. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus Christ says in part B of that verse, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Wonderful verses. "If you continue in my word." That word "continue" means to abide. It is really an ongoing, everyday, moment by moment, continuing in God's word, continuing to walk in God's word, and to believe God's word. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, Jesus Christ's mission was to liberate mankind from the captivity of sin nature and the consequences of sin, and to bring man back to God so that man once again could be made whole. And I'd like to just ask you, if you would, to go to Hebrews for a moment. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, because Jesus Christ says here, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And this is a verse that I think many of you are familiar with, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that talks about the truth. It says, "The word of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is quick, it's living. And the Word of God is powerful, it's energetic. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that two-edged sword is wonderful, because when you reflect on that, you realize that no matter how you yield that sword, it's going to cut, because it's sharp on both sides, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. And you know that that is almost impossible to divide the joints and the marrow. And as a discerner, it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is the standard. The Word of God is the truth. And the Word of God is quick, and the Word of God is powerful. When the Word of God is believed, it has immediate results in our lives. And the Word of God is powerful. Now, the Word of God is the standard of truth that Jesus Christ was talking about here. And if you'll just turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says in verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Isn't that something? You know, we are so blessed in so many ways. One of the ways that we're so blessed is that we are able to participate in weekly fellowships in our homes, that where the word of God is taught accurately. We're able to participate in these Sunday fellowships where the word is taught accurately. But this verse that I'm sharing with you right now, Romans 10, 17, has really been coming to light in our local fellowship. The realization that faith or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Jesus Christ said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we really need to continue in God's word. We need to continue putting that word on in our lives, to continue hearing God's word, continue meditating upon God's word, so that we can continue to believe God's word. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 4 for a minute, if you would. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You know, it's really interesting because to continue in God's word is to continue in believing, or will result in continued believing. We find from God's word that the three keys to manifesting God's deliverance are to continue in God's word, to confess God's word, and to claim God's word in our lives. And it's really amazing. We're going to look at an example in the Gospels of a woman who believed the words of Jesus Christ and the results that she attained in her life. But she certainly had to follow these three principles. She had to continue in the words that she had heard. She had to confess God's word in her life, and she had to claim God's word in her life. And it's really tremendous. In Luke 4:18, Jesus Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." See, when Jesus Christ said, if ye continue in my word, then ye shall be free indeed, that free is the same word as the word liberated. And Jesus Christ came as the great liberator. One of the verses that we looked at and retemorized from a prior Sunday fellowship was Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Also, if you would, look at Romans chapter 5, verse 10 for a moment, and then we're going to go into this account in the Gospels that I was sharing with you. Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled or joined back together with God, we shall be saved by his life." Isn't that wonderful? See, we war not against flesh and blood, but against spirit. That is where the warfare is really happening, and it's really important for us to recognize that. In 2 Corinthians, let me just read this to you, in 2 Corinthians 10:3, and we realize what Jesus Christ, the impact that Jesus Christ had for us through the giving of his life and the tremendous commitment and sacrifice that he made. And you don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." They're mighty. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the truth of God's word. And it's really tremendous. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4 just to see this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. See, God's desire is that we have freedom, that we be liberated and have freedom in every category of our lives, from physical health to mental health to really every aspect, our finances, our families, our passions, our desires to see God's Word grow and live in our lives, every category of our life, there's really no category of our lives that God is not intimately concerned in our lives. And it says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "Wherefore he saith," Jesus Christ, "he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man." Jesus Christ led captivity captive. Anything that could possibly captivate us in our lives, he led captive. What a Savior. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Just kind of have to set the ground, the stage here just a little bit. Just to understand what God accomplished for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that as we continue in His Word, as we continue in what He's accomplished for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It's really wonderful in the manifestations this morning. God said, "I am not the God of fear." That's an interesting thing to say. I am not the God of fear. And it's tremendous, because sometimes in our lives we do find fear hitting us straight in our face and really challenging us because of a variety of things that may be going on in our lives. But it says here that Jesus Christ, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. I want to read these words to this song, and then we'll go into the Gospels, a song that you may have, many of you have heard, called "The Captain of Our Salvation." It's a very wonderful song with a really great point. Just really thinking of Jesus Christ as the captain of our salvation or our wholeness. "Like a ship so far from home, drifting aimlessly alone, storm-tossed by the troubles of this world, driven by the torrents and the mutiny of sin, there I alone, alone a sinking man. Then the captain of salvation, like a lighthouse in the night, guided me into the harbor of God's love. He gave me shelter from the tempest. He's the prince of peaceful seas, anchored in the harbor of God's love. With a cargo of deliverance and the compass of God's word, setting sail in search for others lost at sea. Some will sink, but some will swim, and will rescue them for him, for the safety of the rock in the harbor of God's love. Then the captain of salvation, like a lighthouse in the night, guided them into the harbor of God's love. He gave them shelter from the tempest. He's the prince of peaceful seas, anchored in the harbor of God's love. Yes, the captain of salvation, like a lighthouse in the night, he'll guide you to the harbor of God's love. He'll give you shelter from the tempest. He's the prince of peaceful seas. Full sail upon the ocean of God's love. Full sail upon the ocean of God's love." Isn't that wonderful? And that's where we're going as we continue in God's word. We're going full sail on the ocean of God's love. So let's look at this wonderful woman in the Gospels who went full sail on the ocean of God's love. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25. See, Jesus Christ was touched with all of the infirmities that we've been touched with, all the challenges that we face day to day. See, there's really nothing wrong at all at looking at those challenges straight in the face and saying, "You know what? I have a challenge." You know, I think for years, you know, we thought to ourselves, "You know what? We don't have problems. We have opportunities to believe God." Well, you know, sometimes I think that statement kind of sent us in a direction of denying that we had problems. You know what? If you have a problem, you have a problem. And God has the solution. He's got the solution. So don't be afraid to look at any situation that might be facing you and saying, you know what? God has the answer. I've been delivered by God and by his word. And that's what this woman did in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, and I'm sure some of you are familiar with this, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. That's interesting. She suffered many things. She went through some real treatments there, you know. And had spent all that she had, an enormous amount of money, all of her resources, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. What a challenging situation. I mean, can you see this woman saying, you know, I don't have a problem, it's an opportunity to believe. You know, it's a problem. She has a problem. She knows she has a problem. But here's what's really tremendous. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, she had heard of Jesus. So maybe this woman was at the wedding where he blessed the water and turned it into wine. I mean, maybe she was a guest there. I don't know. But, you know, Jesus Christ and the prophecies of Jesus Christ were pretty abundant through the Old Testament and even through the Gospels. I mean, it was Jesus Christ himself who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," in the Gospels. So this woman probably heard Jesus Christ. She may have heard him teaching God's word. Or maybe she heard that account that we read out of Luke, where he said that his mission was to set the captives free. So she had the word in her mind. She had to have a promise in her mind for this to really unfold the way it did. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Was she confessing the word? Was she confessing that Jesus Christ was the answer to her wholeness? She was. Was she out there after going through all these treatments with the physicians and spending what I would assume the majority of her resources on doctors? And yet she's still out there where Jesus Christ is. She must have known he was going to be out there. She wasn't there by accident. Okay? So she was confessing God's word. She was claiming God's word. And straightway, verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt in her body immediately that she was healed. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. Now she was fearing and trembling. I mean, think about the impact of this healing on her life, this situation she had been dealing with for 12 years. You know what? I would be trembling and fearing tremendously too. And wouldn't you? Because I had just received the deliverance in my life that I needed. And so Jesus, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy believing had made thee whole." He acknowledged the healing. He acknowledged her. And he said, "Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Praise God. Continue, abide in his word. That's how we build our believing. You know, Jesus Christ has already accomplished that healing for us. Because part of what he accomplished as our great liberator was he liberated us from the captivity of sin nature and the consequences of sin, both. So our healing, we already have our healing. It's already promised us according to God's word. We just need to continue in God's word. We need to confess God's word, and we need to claim God's word. And I just want to read one more account to you that I think will bless you, Luke chapter 18. And then we're going to close out this morning. You know, it's really interesting to continue in God's word. We've all heard of continuing education, doctors many times. doctors many times go back and they'll do additional training or education, accountants. You know, I think it's so amazing when we realize that our warfare is spiritual, because I think in many ways the adversary has been very good. Like Barney said one time, you know, he's very skilled. He's been at it a long time. And he's very good about trying to get people on a, in a rush situation, so they're on a treadmill, things are just kind of moving at such a high pace that you really have a very difficult time trying to manage things just in general. You know, so if he can get us so that we're moving so quickly and so that we're so spread out, so that we can't really focus on the things that are the most important in our lives, then he's been successful. You know, it's called the systematizing of error. And so it's interesting that when you think about continuing education, when I first took my training, because I took a formal training with the company that I work with, and it was a 12-week training, and one of the things that they told us in that training is that when you get in your office, after the training's over and you move on to your position, when you get into your office, we want you to take the first 45 minutes of your day, every day, and we want you to review your manuals and your materials, because they said once that day starts, there's really no going back, you know. So they said we want you to go through your product and pricing guide. We want you to go through your online lending manual. We want you to go through your CUG, your conventional underwriting guidelines. And every day we want you to come into the office and take the first 45 minutes to just review sections of those materials. Pretty smart. You know, if I'm going to continue in God's Word on a day-by-day basis, or you are, wouldn't it make sense that we carve out that time every morning to get into God's Word and have that Word be the first thing that we put in our minds to arm ourselves for the day? I mean, what's really more important, English muffins with peanut butter or God's Word? What's the biggest priority? You know? Well, my wife says Starbucks, but no. Here's another thing is that, you know, we really have to schedule. If we're going to continue in God's Word, we have to really schedule God's Word into our lives like anything else. You know, so maybe the thing to do is work it out with your spouse or your significant other so that on one evening a week or one morning a week, you've got a one-hour period or 45-minute period carved out to do nothing but just get into God's Word. But you know, just some simple things that are really amazing. Do you ever find yourself where you've got 20 minutes to read God's Word in the morning and you're reading through it quickly? Just trying to, you know, get it on, get it, trying to eat it, trying to feed on it, you know, trying to get it in your heart, you know. But really, that's not the best way to really assimilate God's Word, is speed read it. It really takes time to just slowly be calm and peaceful and be in fellowship with God and just take that really special time to allow him to teach you and to show you things in God's Word as he does when you are taking the time to go through that process slowly. That's how we build that believing in our lives. That's how we have those moments of synesis where the Word just comes right out of the page at us and captures our heart, and we've got believing, you know? So just a couple thoughts about how we continue in God's Word, making sure that we don't allow the things of the world and the systems of the world and the treadmill of the world to prevent us from doing the thing that's the most important. Does anybody in this room feel that there's anything more important to them? I don't think so. So isn't that interesting? But anyway, let's finish up here. This is a wonderful account in Luke chapter 18. Again, a man who continued in the Word, who confessed God's Word, he spoke it, physically spoke it to himself, and then he claimed God's Word in Luke 18:35. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was nigh unto Jericho," speaking again of Jesus Christ, "a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He was there with his friends, and he heard a lot of commotion. And hearing the multitude pass by, heard the commotion, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was blind. He couldn't get up and run to where Jesus was, so he just simply used what he had. He used his voice. And he yelled for Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he knew who Jesus Christ was. He knew he was the son of David. Do you think maybe that he knew that Jesus Christ had come to set the captive free? I think he did. I think that he had really believed and prayed and believed for this time and trusted God for this time in his life where this opportunity would present itself for him to get healed. I'm sure he took these scripture retemeries and worked these retemeries in his mind over and over and over and over again. The promises of God that applied to his life. And it says, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more. They tried to tell him to be quiet. You know, shut up. I mean, come on, you're embarrassing us. This is embarrassing. You know, we're in public. You're out here yelling. The Son of God's walking. You're yelling at, you know. They tried to quiet him down. What did he do? He got louder. He said, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. He claimed his deliverance. He was believing and he claimed his deliverance. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. See, when we take a stand on God's word, when we continue in that word, when we confess God's word, and when we claim God's word, God will bring the deliverance. It's just like that incident I shared with you a couple Sundays ago about how I got that security device off my shirt. It wasn't my business how God was going to do it. That was God's business. But he did it. That was the important thing. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He was very clear on what it was that he needed in his life. He had a problem. And Jesus said unto him, very good. Receive thy sight. Thy believing has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. God is deliverance. You know, it's really tremendous because we have already been set free. Jesus Christ has already led captivity captive. There's really nothing. There's no small thing. There's no big thing. There's just, as you consider the issues in your own life and areas where you want to see things change or improve or you need deliverance, you've already got that deliverance. Jesus Christ has already led captivity captive. It's already yours, so we need to just continue in the Word, continue confessing God's Word, and continue claiming God's Word, and you will have your deliverance, period. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to enjoy some coffee and refreshments and a blessed day. So, Father, thank you for your love and your goodness, and thank you, Father, for making your word so simple and for everything that you've accomplished for us, that we can continue in your word and continue to believe your word, Father, for any aspect of our lives, any area where we need healing and deliverance, that you're there for us, Father, through the finished work of your Son. And Father, I just pray for each and every person in this room right now. And Father, I come to you and I pray for your healing deliverance in their lives. That Father, that we can recognize that we have already received our wholeness in every category of our lives. That we have been made totally whole. That we can be the men and women that you called us to be, Father. That we're seated at your right hand. And that we can patiently and anxiously await the return of your Son. So, Father, I thank you for this great day. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.